Our first reading is from Isaiah. We're going to be having two readings tonight, and we'll read one, and then we'll have a short meditation on that, and then we'll read another and have a short meditation on the second one, both linked, but we'll separate the readings out. So the first reading is from Isaiah chapter 55 and verses 1 to 9. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. According to the faithful mercies shown to David, behold, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which knows you not will run to you, because the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Margaret's going to come and read a prayer that's based on that reading from the Sanctuary First prayers.
You call, come. Come back from the edge. To the thirsty, you offer water. To the hungry, bread. To all, wine and milk beyond price. Father, reach out across the borderland into the wasteland. Hear our confession. We've lived in that wasteland, wasting your love, wasting your grace, wasting your mercy, wasting your gifts. Together we confess there is nothing you have given us which we have not wasted. You call, come. What grace is this? To give again what we have wasted? What bounty is this? To give more than we could imagine. You call, come, and when we come, we are satisfied in you. When we come, you renew your covenant. When we come, you are glorified. You call, come. We cry in our weakness. Help us come. Amen.
In the 1 or 2 weeks ago, when we were looking at Cain and Abel, we were looking at the choices that we have. And when we get to a place of the edge, the borderlands place, it's often a place where we have to make choices in how we react to different things and how we follow through our faith. And when we're looking at Cain's anger, he had a choice really between self-control and going in a godly way, or between letting himself go. And a lot of that is to do with discernment, about how we discern God's voice and hear God's voice. This morning, Albert was using the example of the Monopoly board as a sort of symbol of the world's way of thinking, if you like, that Monopoly board and what that symbolizes is this way of thinking that is about materialism, that's about accumulating, that is about getting as much as we can, about focusing on the here and now, on the material. And he was talking about this different way of thinking, this looking at the unseen things. And it's this thing that, and that's what's referred to in this passage in Isaiah, where it's talking about God's ways being different from ours, God's thoughts being different from ours. Have you ever worked with somebody or been in a team with somebody and they just do things differently? And you can't understand why they do that way and do things in a certain way. And your way is a different way, and it can lead to frustration. I know when my mother was alive, and we had different ways of describing things and explaining things. So, for instance, there was one time my mother was explaining a beach bag, what a beach bag looked like, that she had a pattern for. And she started right from the beginning, where you take the piece of paper and the pattern, and you put it on the piece of material, and then you do this. And I'm going, no, but what does the bag look like? And I wanted to see the end thing, and I wanted to start off with the end picture. But she couldn't get to the end picture until she'd built up all the bits. And it used to come up time and time again. But we just had different ways of thinking and different ways of doing things. And it's like that between God's way and the world's way. It's constant, this constant tension, if you like. And this morning, Albert was talking how we know, if you like, when we're following God's way, when we're going that path that's touching eternity, when we're in those thin places. I want to talk just very briefly about how do we get there. And the first thing I want to talk about is discernment. How do we know God's ways and God's thought? And this might mean learning how God speaks to us, like through the Bible, through other people. But there's things that can cloud our discernment. And I think we often hear things, you know, being told to read the Bible or listening to others and all the things that we can do to build up our faith. And there's three things, I think, that can cloud discernment. And hearing that clear voice of God, hearing what his way is. One of them can be when we just simply keep on doing wrong things, when we keep on doing things that we know God doesn't like. And we've probably all had some point in our life where we've had that niggle, and it might be a big thing, it might be an addiction, or it might be a really small, tiny thing, but it's something that God is just laying in our hearts that's wrong, that's not what you should be doing. And when we're doing that, that can cloud our hearing God. And the other one Albert mentioned this morning is bitterness and unforgiveness. That can really come in the way of hearing God's voice. If we've been forgiven, and if we have that unforgiveness in our hearts, then that can cloud the discernment, cloud this perceiving what God's way is, what his thoughts are. And the third way is a lack of a clear goal. Not keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, not having that determination to follow Jesus, whatever. When I was doing the walk yesterday, and when I started off, I didn't know where the canal was going to take me. I knew it went round various bends and twists and everything. But I knew that if I kept that water on the left-hand side of me and kept on that path, that I was going to get to that end goal. And that's what I stuck to. And there were lots of paths going off and lots of signposts taking me into various villages. But I knew that if I wanted to get to that goal, I had to stay on that canal path right to the end. And I think that's it's like that with Jesus. We have to keep our eyes fixed on him. We have to keep that discernment to stop things clouding that discernment. And there might be something stopping you tonight from responding to God's call to come and eat and drink. And we're going to just take a minute or two now, just as we just think about, just meditate really on that, on those things. But is there something that's clouding our discernment, that's stopping us coming to drink deeply from God, stopping us from really relying on God, from getting in the way of being able to hear his voice clearly in every aspect of our lives? Our second reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 11. I'm just going to read one or two of the verses from the middle and then jump to the end. So in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. And as you know, the Hebrews 11 continues with a long list of by faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Joseph, by faith Moses, goes on and on. And then it gets to verse 32, and what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weaknesses were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all of these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. In this passage, scary passage, how many of us expect our faith to end up by being sawn in two or put to death? And it soars to the heights of when we hear by faith, by faith, by faith, and then we're tugged to the depths of fear when that list of things that might happen to us, or we wonder how we could live up to the example of these great people of faith, the men and women who are taken to the edge of faith. When you hear the word faith, what do you think of? Do you want to just maybe turn around to the person next to you, just off the top of your head? When you hear the word faith, what does it make you think of? What's some of the things? Trusting in God. Believing in God. Worship. Worship, yeah. Anything else? Perseverance. Persevering in faith, yeah. I think when we hear the word faith, I think there's different things come to mind, and there are different, we talk of different faiths, there are different faith groups in society. There are different sets of beliefs that are attached with those different faith groups. Trust, which was said, belief that things will turn out well is sometimes what we have faith, that something will turn out well. And I like Eugene Peterson's translation of the definition of faith, or where he's translating the first verse or two of Hebrews 11. He says, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. So it's something about this unseen, this eternal thing about eternity that we're talking about this morning, that having this faith is being in touch with this unseen thing, being in touch with eternity in a way. And Hebrews 11 is full of these what we hear by faith, but in fact underneath it's talking about acts of faith. It's not just having this believing a set of beliefs, it's actually this practical faith. that all of this definition of faith that's given in Hebrews 11 is that their faith was acted upon. So when they got to that place of the edge, when they got to that borderland, where they got to that difficult place, it was actually acting on their faith. It was doing something. It was making that choice that really gave them that edge, if you like, in that place on the edge. And what we read time and time again through that is that having discerned what God wanted them to do, they were obedient to that call. So as well as discernment, there's something in faith that's about obedience. Why do you think Hebrews 11 was written then? What was the purpose of Hebrews 11? Yep. How many of you were at house groups this week? Sorry, home groups. I'll get used to telling. Okay. In the home groups, did you hear any of the names that were mentioned in that list that was read out? Yeah? When you're doing activity one and it was talking about David. You heard about David. You heard about the prophets. You heard about Moses and the escape from Egypt. Genesis is all about the patriarchs. So woven into this passage is all these people from the Old Testament. And they're put there, as you say, as an encouragement. They're put there so that when we get to the when we get to the difficult places, when we get to the places where it seems we have only got our own experience to go on, and we're tempted to think, this doesn't work, or I'm giving up now, we can turn and we can see the way that God works and the way he's worked in the past. Eugene Peterson, in his book, Along Obedience in the Same Direction, writes, a Christian who has David in his bones, Jeremiah in his bloodstream, Paul in his fingertips, and Christ in his heart will know how much and how little value to put on his own momentary feelings and the experience of the past week. In other words, it's by remembering all these people, by having this biblical memory, that we can, it encourages when we get to those borderland places, when our faith is tested, that we turn to these stories of old. And that's why in the home groups, we're looking at that history so that we get that sense of who we are. It's not just a history lesson. It's actually the history of who we are. And when we read these acts of faith, it's an encouragement when our faith is tested, we get the bigger picture. And so we've got the dedication, we've got the obedience, we've got the discernment, and the thing that Malcolm mentioned, the perseverance or the dedication to the long run, that long obedience in the same direction as Eugene Peterson calls it, that these stories in chapter 11 are not just one-off stories, but they're a pattern of life. There's a saying, and it says, watch your thoughts, for they become your words. And watch your words, because they become your actions. Watch your actions, for they become your habits. Watch your habits, because they become your character. And watch your character, because that becomes your destiny. Yeah, yeah. So all of these in Hebrews 11, it's going back from and that verse in Isaiah 55, where God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So that discernment helps us tap in right at the start of that sequence to what God's thoughts are, so that as we go through and build up, that our thoughts become godly words, become godly actions, become godly habits, become godly character, become that godly destiny within us. So obedience, discernment, and dedication. Obedience begins with O, discernment, D, dedication, odd. We can seem odd to the world. When we're obedient, dedicated, and discerning, we can seem very odd to the world, like that Monopoly board where we reject it and we say, that's not the way we want. We can seem very odd to the world. But to God, we are not odd. We are his faithful ones. There's another prayer based on this reading. Is it Anne this time? Sorry, Margaret. Margaret this time. It's going to read a prayer that's based on this, the Hebrews reading.
Let's pray. Sometimes my ears are dull. Lord, who made the ear, fix my ears. I want to hear the cheering crowd, those who have passed this way before, those who have been on the edge with you, those who know you don't let go. Let me hear stories of this faith that I might stand upon their shoulders and see your glory at the end of the race. Sometimes my eyes are blind. Lord, who made the eye, fix my eyes. I want to see Jesus. I know I can't see all of Jesus, but as much as I can, show me that much. Do I have it hard? He had it harder. Compared to him, what can I say? I have endured. As you show me Jesus, don't leave me downcast. This Jesus who has been faithful is my Jesus, in whom you have placed me, to whom you have united me. Let me run as Jesus ran, endure as Jesus endured. Rejoice while on the edge as Jesus rejoiced, to see your glory and know it is near. Amen.